Thanks for listening to Cap and Jay Hood, brought to you by Miller Lite.
Cap and Jay Hood, mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Just after 9 with my friend Jonathan Hood, I'm David Kaplan. Danny Zetterman, executive producer. J.R. Strauss, Tyler Aki, our guy Jeff Meller is hosting today, so he doesn't have to come in early and work this show today. This from Bob Nightingale. We'll get Chuck to respond. Chuck Garfine's going to join us right now. Mm-hmm. Bob Nightingale just tweeted this 4 minutes ago. Two teams who have been involved in the Mike Clevenger sweepstakes say they are now out, but when pressed, they said they simply wouldn't raise their last offer. The leading candidates at this point to land him: Padres, White Sox, Blue Jays, Yankees.
So if Clevenger or Lindor is not in their future plans, they're just going to level this thing.
Pretty much.
My goodness.
But they still have really good pitching.
Well, you know, there's a place where Clevenger and some of these others like to go. They can come on over to Sha-na-na-na.
35th and Shields.
Sha-na-na-na.
Sha-na-na-na. There you go. That leads us to our guy, Archuk Garfine, from NBC Sports Chicago and part of our family here at ESPN 1000. Archuk, what's up, man?
Not much, just basking in the glow of August 31st and the White Sox are pretty, in first place.
Pretty crazy.
Central.
How surprised are you, Chuck, that we're talking about, and Cap and I started our show talking about two first-place teams. The White Sox, again, I did not expect this. I expected this in 2021, but how surprised are you of what you've seen so far?
Well, if that's not surprising enough that they're in first place, consider this. They have a better record at 21-13, a better record than the Yankees, Twins, Braves, Astros, Cardinals, Nats, Phillies, Padres, and David Kaplan's Cubs. So they are, you know, are they playing a beyond expectations? Maybe a little bit, but we also knew that of the potential of this team, and the talent on this team is all about potential when they started the rebuild. And you never know when they're going to, who's going to reach their potential, when is it going to happen, how is it going to happen. Well, here in 2020, a lot of things are going right. And what's great about it is enough things can go wrong with a team and this team, and they can still win. You know, like Yoel Moncada has been in and out of the lineup. He hasn't been very effective. Edwin Encarnacion is not playing that great. Nomar Mazara has as many home runs as you and I do. And yet, here they are, 21-13. They are, there's a lot of talent here, and it's looking like the ones that want to add to that talent before 3 p.m. today, which is something we're all watching.
What do you want to see from the White Sox in this series against the Twins that we did not see the last time? Anything in particular that you're looking forward to seeing from the White Sox standpoint?
Jay Hood, that's a great question, and I've got an answer for you. Here's one thing. The biggest thing they can do in this series: do not pitch to Nelson Cruz. Yeah. Nelson Cruz has owned the White Sox. He did it in the first series of the season. He did it last year. Oh, it was just crazy. His numbers are insane. You control him or contain him as much as you can, you've got a great chance of winning this series. And he just had a big weekend against the Twins, or against the Tigers, even though the Tigers swept the Twins. He's coming in with a hot bat. So that's the one thing I want to see more than anything. Do not let him go off like he has offensively over the last year against the White Sox, because that has just crushed them. And Giolito goes tonight. There was a game last year where Nelson Cruz hit 3 home runs off Lucas Giolito on 3 completely different pitches. That's the kind of locked-in mentality he's been with against the White Sox. We got to change that here tonight and the rest of the series.
Rich Hill, I felt like he was a rookie with the Cubs like 40 years ago. This guy's got to be ancient. Plus, your club crushes left-handers. Now, this guy has the best curveball going from the left side. He's just ridiculous. He got an extra day off. He's pitching on 5 days rest, and his last outing was just 78 pitches. So he's going to be fresh. Jose Abreu kills this guy. I'm just telling you, Chuck, if you guys are careful with Nelson Cruz, you should win this baseball game.
To show you how long Rich Hill has been in the game. He was on the mound, I believe, making his major league debut. Well, certainly he was a rookie the year of the A.J. Pierzynski-Michael Barrett fight. Rich Hill was on the mound for the Cubs that day.
What year was that?
2006.
It's crazy.
Yeah, because I know he started the elimination game at Wrigley 2007 against the Diamondbacks, and the first batter of the game was former White Sox outfielder Chris Young. He took him deep, and the game was over.
Yeah, so what you're saying is accurate, that the White Sox have been having a lot of success against left-handed starters. They're 9-0 against them. Although, actually, it might be 10-0 after yesterday. But I will say the last two lefty starters they have faced was in that Royals series, Friday and Sunday, and they didn't do that great against those two. So maybe this trend is starting to change a little bit. Even then, I do like this matchup. On Tuesday, it's Michael Pineda making his season debut, and then it's Jose Berríos, who hasn't been his typical self. But I like the matchup tonight with Giolito coming off his no-hitter. And I mean, he had 13 strikeouts in the no-hitter. He had 13 strikeouts in the previous start. So he is locked in right now and looking really good. So looking forward to that tonight.
Chuck, what do the White Sox need most as we dawn closer to the deadline?
Well, the answer is starting pitching. Now, believe it or not, the starters have a very good ERA. Their rotation at last check was around fifth or sixth in the majors in ERA. But they can do better, and they know they can do better. And a Reddit source told me last night that there were three serious contenders for Mike Clevenger, and one is the White Sox. I heard White Sox, Padres, Yankees. And are the Indians really willing to trade Mike Clevenger to a division rival? If it's me, I wouldn't do it, because you're not only, I mean, you're going to get something back in return. That helps your team. If you're the Indians, great. But do you want to help another team in your division? It's better to help yourself, help your team, and then help a team like in another league or another division. So that gives me pause into thinking this is actually going to happen with Clevenger. But, you know, stranger things have happened.
So what are you prepared to give up?
What am I?
If you were the guy,
or are you asking the White Sox?
I'm asking you, because I was talking about it with Hoodie. Like, are you prepared to give up like elite talent to get Clevenger, Lance Lynn, whatever big name? I'm talking top two in your rotation type guy.
Well, my guess is that the White Sox are only going to go so far. They're not going to overreach here. They've got something really special going on here, and they're going to, you know, they came up with, a price, so to speak, and a package, and they said, this is where we're willing to go. Now, you know, might they change it at the last minute and tweak it if, you know, they feel like it's so close? Maybe. But, you know, I don't think they're going to reach for, say, a Lance Lynn, only because Lance Lynn only has 1 year after this year. Clevenger's got two. So, you know, the window is open for the White Sox. You only get so many swings, so to speak, to try. You know, the window is it's not infinite. You'd like the window to be open for 10 years, but that's not realistic. So, you know, if you have Clevenger, that gives you three shots with Clevenger to win a World Series, as opposed to, you know, two with Lance Lynn, and that's including this year. So, naming names, I don't even know. I mean, you have Andrew Vaughn, who I think he'll be an elite hitter. Where are you going to play him? You got Jose Abreu at first base now, and Jose Abreu is looking amazing, but you know, he's supposed to be your next first baseman. So I don't know what they'd be willing to give up, but they're going to have to give up something, and it's anybody's guess who that something might be.
Chuck, what did you think of Dunning's performance? You know, before I could even call my friends or my neighbors, he was pulled out of the game after five innings. I like what I saw, but I wanted to call my friends, and I was not allowed to. I wanted an extra inning. Cap says no.
No.
I wanted an extra. I wanted more. I mean, he was dominating. That makes me feel good as a Sox fan to know that Dunning can do that with seven strikeouts over five. But I didn't even get a chance to call my friends, and he had a no-hitter going.
It's not a pitch count.
He was nowhere near going to be able to get to the point where you can call your friends and neighbors, because he wasn't going to go eight or nine. Now, if it's me, you know, I don't know the inner workings of how many pitches they wanted him to throw going into that game. And so I was trying to weigh the cost. So, yeah, he had a no-hitter going. But then also, it was a 2-0 game. Like, let's win the game, too, you know? So I would have sent him out for one more inning because he was only at, I think, 70-something pitches. Let's win this game. Well, that's one less inning that you have to rely on your bullpen. But they cut him off at 5 innings. They bring Jimmy Cordero in. He gives up a run, gives up a hit, obviously. And then the Sox almost lost this game. So, you know, I would have gone one more inning, but I don't know what was really the talk in the dugout and in the bullpen about how long they wanted to extend Dane Dunning. But, like, the stuff he had was – that was electric stuff. And we had Scott Pitsednik on the postgame show, and he said that Dunning's stuff was just as good, if not a little better – than Giolito's stuff in the first 5 innings of his no-hitter. That's how impressed he was with Dunning. So the Royals, you could say, oh, it's a last-place team. There are some pretty good hitters on that team. I mean, Merrifield, Soler led the majors in home runs last year. They got some good hitters over there. That was not just some, you know, the Pirates, the team that Giolito no-hit, that's not a really good team. But that was impressive what Dunning did.
Last thing from me. Do you believe by 3:00 Central, the deadline, that you will be doing an emergency podcast, that you will be coming here on the radio, going on White Sox pregame live, discussing a deal? And I'm not talking about Neil Kotz for David Ardsma. I'm talking about whoa. What do you think?
Okay, so the whoa. I do think the White Sox will make a trade.
Like, is Hoodie going to be skipping around here tomorrow going, sha-na-na-na?
I'm going to do that anyway.
I would love to see that. I would love to see that. Let me think about this. I'm trying to think about does a Kevin Gausman acquisition make you go, sha-na-na?
No.
It gives me a shot. It doesn't give me a na-na. Yeah. I like a shot. I like a shot with my na-na.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, there's two things that I'm trying to weigh here. And that is, like, Rick Hahn 2 weeks ago, last time he spoke, said, we're not going to be in the market for a rental. Now, that's Kevin Gausman, because he's a free agent after this year. That's why the Clevenger pursuit makes sense, because he's not just for this year, he's for the future. So I think the Sox are going to make a strong attempt to get him. Are they going to, though, in the end? I don't know. So if that doesn't happen, where do they go from there? I do believe they think this team has a chance. Is it a Lance Lynn? I'd like to see Lance Lynn on this team. So I would say it's more realistic Lance Lynn ends up with the White Sox than Clevenger. And I'm really hoping there's an emergency White Sox Talk podcast coming out later today.
I'll be listening. I said on Twitter yesterday, you want the scoop? Follow at Chuck Garfine.
Hey, thanks, Captain. By the way, we have Frank Thomas and Ozzie Guillen on the pre- and post-game shows all series long, White Sox and Twins. So
awesome. I've
tonight.
Got baseball night in Chicago tonight at 6.
Look at that. Back-to-back, me and you. This is great TV on the way.
I'm looking forward to it. Hey, man, have a wonderful rest of your day.
All right, see you guys.
We'll see you. There he is, our Chuck Garfine.
According to our Jeff Dickerson, as we just heard from our Chuck Garfine, the Bears have re-signed rookie running back Napoleon Maxwell.
Who?
Napoleon Maxwell.
Who?
Good man. He's got great hot dogs.
He play at Navy?
Great Polishes.
He play at Navy? Oh, that's Napoleon McCallum.
No, that's a different guy.
That was like 25 years ago.
That's not Southside.
Yeah.
So there you go. So they're adding to the running back room, as they say.
Yeah. Let me know when it says Bears have signed Leonard Fournette.
We'll do a podcast if that happens.
We'll do an emergency talk podcast. Sure. There you go. 312-332-3776. Shot, no shot is next. Twitch, you can watch Jay Hood and I on Twitch at twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. And it's brought to you by Blue Moon, the official craft beer sponsor of the Kentucky Derby.
That was very weird. Watched the Cubs game in the first inning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just sitting there, Hood Cave, beautiful day, watching the Cubs. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the action, the movie The Equalizer pops up. I tweeted it out at TweetJHood.
What?
It was just weird, just like for maybe 45 seconds to a minute, a scene from Denzel Washington just pops up. Just
Equalizer
like,
one or two?
Electric Boogaloo, I believe it's two. But nonetheless, I'm watching, I'm just like, did I sit on my remote?
Right.
Did I change it? Was like right butt cheek, what moved it over
right.
to a different?
Did the dog put his paw on it?
Right, exactly. Right. Like, no, like the remote's in front of me on the table. And just kind of like, well, and then it just clicked back. While Marquee was on, it went to the Equalizer, and then it went back to the game. It's weird.
Really weird.
It's like, does Casper have his hand on the remote? This isn't interesting. How about a Denzel movie? Out of here. Like no, no. So I thought, is it just me? So I tweeted it out, and I just thought, there's something going on with my cable system.
Anybody respond?
People just liked it because they thought I was nuts.
Right.
But no.
Yeah, I watched the game.
Strange.
I don't know if I didn't see that scene, but I might not. I may have been.
It's weird.
Making breakfast or whatever. 312-332-3776. Time to play shot or no shot.
That's why I say shot. No shot. With Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I say.
We turn now to Danny Zetterman with another edition of Shot or No Shot right here on Cap and J-Hood.
Hoodrow, I think that only happened on your broadcast of the Cubs game because they were sending you a message. Stay out of Cubs fans' business.
Yeah.
Southside Cable strikes again.
Stay out of Cubs business, as Kenny would say.
Gentlemen, let's get to the Bears. From our guy, Dan Weeder.
Danny, good morning. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, Hoodie. How was your weekend?
Good. Really good. Had a fun time this weekend and watched some sports. Saw some golf. It's outstanding.
Good. You sound well rested.
Yeah.
Look sharp as always.
Yeah, feeling good too.
Smelling dapper.
Well, you always got to smell. I got nothing else going for me. I got to smell good at least. When you got a body like an unmade bed, you want to at least smell good.
Wow.
Danny.
All right, gentlemen. From our guy, Dan Weeder's piece in the.
Oh, it's funny. That's why. It's a line.
Pretty good.
From our guy Dan Weeder's piece of the Tribune today, quote, the consensus over the past 2 weeks is that neither Mitch Trubisky nor Nick Foles has been all that impressive to this point in camp, and Saturday's showing at Soldier Field was nothing to write home about. We heard Keyshawn Johnson this morning in the show before us say that the Bears have two backup quarterbacks. So I ask you, gentlemen, shot or no shot, Bears fans need to brace themselves for another wasted season of this dominant Bears defense.
Shot. Yeah. This has been the majority of my career, of my life as a Bears fan. Strong defense and not a good enough offense. So I'd say shot.
Yeah, I'm going to say no shot. I'm going to choose to live my life all in and have a little optimism and some unity. One of these two guys is going to find a way. One of these two jackaloons is going to play decent enough that we have a really fun season. So take that.
We have unity. Whether you're a Mitch guy or a Nick guy, the one thing we're united on is that they don't have the quarterback.
I'm going to bank on that they figured some stuff out. So take that.
What stuff? You got some, what's the stuff?
They're going to get enough.
What stuff?
They're going to score enough points, and that defense is going to be a beast. That the combo is going to be good.
All right. So a two-quarterback system. We hear now from David Kaplan, a two-quarterback system.
2 weeks ago, 2 weeks from today, we will be sitting here talking about game one. It's going to be a damn victory, and we're going to be fired up on a victory Monday.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. What about the season, though?
I've got them 11-5.
Okay, that's great. You can have the tattoo. Doesn't mean necessarily it's going to happen. You can be all in on life.
Trying to go get that this week. It's tough to get a tattoo appointment, by the way. Let me just tell you.
You don't say.
It's like people, like, slow down. It's like they're all pent up. They got to get tattoos. I'm trying to get in. I can't. Or the place I was going to go doesn't require masks. Are you people not aware of the ongoing pandemic?
I would say maybe go to the South. Maybe get yourself a flight. Go to Atlanta.
Just go out to Stateville and have one of those guys do it. Danny.
All right, gentlemen, sticking with football, earlier this morning the Jaguars released running back Leonard Fournette. It was another move in their rebuilding, quote-unquote rebuilding process. I ask you boys, shot or no shot, in sports, tanking only works in baseball.
That's a good question.
I would say shot. Baseball, we've seen it with the Cubs. We're seeing it with the White Sox. Sox lost over 800 games since the last time that they
Houston.
Went to the playoffs. So it does work, yes. Basketball, well, clearly not. He was looking at you, Philadelphia 76ers.
That worked out.
How's the process working there? Huh? How's that working? I would say in football, I'm really disappointed in Jacksonville. Really disappointed in that market. Thinking that you could just level a franchise. I would say shot. The best opportunity for you to level your franchise and start over is baseball.
Look at the Browns. Like the Browns,
I would go
didn't they try
hoodie?
Didn't the Browns try it in football? And how'd that work out for them?
That's ongoing. And
they got bad ownership. They're just a poorly run franchise.
I don't buy in at all to what they are doing. It's incremental success, but not to the point where there'd be a perennial playoff team. And by the way, Tyler, this is all on Baker Mayfield. All of it. Like, if it doesn't work out this time, we're not firing Stefanski. It's on you. They're going to replace the quarterback if it doesn't work out.
And they should. I mean, the jersey keeps getting longer and longer for that Browns quarterback list. Mm. And, I mean, that's been a disaster. My entire life, the Browns have been a disaster.
Meanwhile, the Patriots
have been the pinnacle of football my entire life.
Think about that.
It's pretty crazy.
He didn't see Bernie Kosar play.
He didn't.
We saw Bernie Kosar play.
How about Tim Couch?
Think about that. His whole life, he's known the Browns as a joke. And his whole life, he's seen the Patriots being great. Isn't that amazing?
It's insane. Literally insane.
Cap and I are old enough to remember when the Patriots weren't very good.
Correct.
And they were a joke. How about
then
that?
Then Belichick rolled in.
Mm-hmm.
All right, gentlemen, moving on to baseball. The traditional July 31st Major League Baseball trade deadline has been moved this season. Mm-hmm. And it's 3 p.m. today. Shot or no shot, one of our two baseball teams makes a move that takes us all by surprise. So I'm not just talking a blah move. I'm talking a move where we text each other like, holy
bleep,
what just happened?
Right, it wasn't like the Cubs got Brandon Kinsler back. It's like, whoa!
Yes.
See, Lance Lynn is not a, oh my God, let me text you. It's wow, it's interesting that they got him. Now you solidified that third spot in the rotation.
Lance Lynn's a big move.
It's a nice move.
That's a big move.
Depending on which was on the other side of it. What's on the other side of it? Like, what are the Sox giving up? That's the thing.
Well, it's going to be pricey, whatever it is. But Lance Lynn, plug and play in that rotation?
It's not Clevenger.
Damn good
move. It's not Clevenger, I don't believe. It's likely Lynn, if you're going to do that move at all.
Correct.
Standing still, that means you're depending on Cease, Gonzalez when he's healthy. Yeah, you can't go in there. You can't go in the playoffs with just two starters. I want three. Three that you could depend on. So, I put it this way, Danny. If Lynn is that guy, then yes, that will be, I would say, shot on that.
All right, gentlemen, let's move on to the NBA. Jimmy Butler, former Bull, and the Miami Heat go head-to-head with top-seeded Milwaukee in a best-of-seven Eastern Conference semifinal series starting tonight. Shot or no shot? Trading Jimmy Butler, who leads this Heat team, was a major, major, major mistake by the Bulls front office, and they'd love a do-over.
Yeah, I'll say no shot. They were never going to give him the Supermax $200-and-whatever-million-dollar deal. I wouldn't have given it to him either. He's an outstanding player. I don't know if he's a Batman on a championship team. He's a really, really wonderful Robin, so no shot.
That's a tough one. That's a really tough question, Danny. I guess I'll say no shot slightly because the Bulls wish they had a cornerstone guy now to have a star. They don't have a superstar. They don't have any stars on that team. That would be a cornerstone guy to have right now to build around. And a guy that is a lunch bucket guy, came into the league with just a defensive prowess guy, and really was able to mold himself and work himself into a terrific two-way player. He's turned into the modern-day Paul Pressey, actually, in that regard. Paul Pressey was a guy who was just strong
with
defensively and got better.
Point forward.
He's kind of like a Paul Pressey type, I think.
Yep.
And so I will say slightly no shot on that, Danny.
Who do the Bulls get back from Jimmy Butler, Cappy?
They got back Lauri Markkanen, Chris Dunn, and Zach LaVine.
And have any of those three guys lived up to the potential we thought we were getting when we made
Zach
that
Zach LaVine
trade?
Has. He's 24 points a game.
It's empty calories.
Oh!
You could say that
calories.
Because they have a bad team, but he's played his arse off.
Don't do that, Danny.
Has he lifted the guys around him?
Danny, don't do that.
Hoodie, Jimmy Butler, does he lift the guys around him, yes or no?
Yes, he does.
Does Zach LaVine lift the guys around him?
No.
Your Honor, I rest my case.
But there is no empty calorie. I mean, 25...
That's a lot of points in the NBA, I understand.
I mean, that's still that's pretty strong when you score 24, 25 points a game. But it's just on a bad team.
But you're not bringing the guys. He's not bringing everyone with him.
Who's he bringing with him? Chris Dunn sucks.
Gar Forman was drooling over Chris Dunn for how long? What's Chris Dunn
and
become?
Gar Forman right now is at the Starbucks in Lake Forest having coffee looking at the freaking want ads.
Lauri Markkanen, Lauri Markkanen regressed more than Mitchell Trubisky in his second year. I mean, let's be honest.
Well, you know,
Is that Zach LaVine's fault?
Shouldn't he be playing well? I mean, like, look at what Jimmy Butler does with the guys around him.
Is it not more on the coach as well?
Well, there's,
We didn't have a coach.
There's your problem.
Okay, so the bottom line has always been for me, Zach LaVine is the third best player on a really good team. All right, but look at this team. You can score 25 points a game, but look what's around him. He's like the modern day Reggie Theus. Like, this is what's going on here. Like, correct. A guy that can score and can do it all, but then. Who's going to make better? Mark, I mean, it's hard to make other players better when they're sitting in double knits or sitting there in a suit because they've been injured. It's been a ton of injuries on this team.
Or you got a head coach that's got a 7-foot kid in Markkanen, just hang out at the 3-point stripe. No, they need player development to be improved. They need their system to improve and add another good player at number 4, and let's see.
Look at these high draft picks. Shouldn't we expect more out of Coby White? Shouldn't we expect more out of Wendell Carter?
Whoa, Coby White's 19 years old. He played 1 year.
My point is, Cap, if Zach LaVine is this leader that can elevate the play of the guys around him, where has that been? We can blame the coach all we want. All I'm saying is Zach LaVine, I expect more than just 24 points a game.
But who has he not elevated?
Who has he elevated?
Well, first of all, Wendell Carter's been out twice with major injuries, so you can't elevate him. He's hurt. Lauri Markkanen, I thought the coach used him incredibly poorly because at one point he was trending in a really high direction with Zach LaVine. Chris Dunn, ugh, whatever, he's a defensive guy. That's it. And Coby White didn't even play a full season in the league yet. He's 19 years old.
He's a kid.
Yeah, and we're going to pick a guy at number 4? I'm telling you. Otto Porter? That guy can't get on the court. So who is Zach supposed to elevate? Me and Hoodie?
So injuries and ineptitude, Danny. That's what you got right now. Look, and another thing, too, about players like that, they can elevate themselves, try to make others better. If it doesn't work, they're just going to keep shooting the basketball. I wish the Bulls had, like, a Jamal Murray right now who's red hot for Denver.
His second 50-plus point game.
Just don't have it. They just don't have it. So blame Reinsdorf. Blame Boylan. Blame Fred Hoiberg. But stop putting it on Zach LaVine. Or is it LaVine?
LaVine.
Is it LaVine?
LaVine. He lives up in Highland Park.
My son, LaVine.
Danny.
He's just not doing well.
That's it for today, gentlemen.
When we come back, we want to pay tribute to a couple of different people. It's been a rough 2020, man.
Welcome to Chicago.
Welcome. We'll be right back.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
So it was a sad weekend. We learned this morning that Big John Thompson, the longtime coach at Georgetown, first black coach to ever win the national championship. He died at the age of 78. They have not yet given a cause of death, but I'd seen him do an interview, I don't know, a month or two ago, and he did not look good. He had lost a ton of weight, and he just didn't look healthy, and we heard this morning that he passed. In fact, you go back the last few months, Hoodie, in college basketball, which you and I have a deep love for.
Yeah.
Lou Henson, Eddie Sutton, Lute Olson died over the weekend, and now John Thompson. 4 Hall of Famers, all gone.
Yeah, the John Thompson, that when I turned my phone on this morning, that's the first thing I saw. I guess that happened 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning when that news broke. And being able to meet John Thompson was big for me because growing up as a kid, you're watching Big East basketball, and that's all I was. I mean, 11 o'clock, that was usually the first game that was on.
Syracuse, Georgetown.
Oh, that was a battle.
UConn, Georgetown.
Boeheim versus John Thompson was as big as the players that used to take, because it was heated rivalries. And as polarizing as John Thompson was, he was a must watch because Georgetown came in. And here's why his name is so big. is because, especially in the inner city, me growing up on the south side, dudes were having Georgetown starter jackets and hats because they want to represent Fort John.
Do you know the Georgetown starter jacket, that dark navy blue?
Yeah.
That jacket, I believe, is in the African American Hall of Fame. Not his jacket.
Yeah.
That jacket, because of how iconic it became.
People were wearing it. I know friends of mine were wearing it. It's like, you're Georgetown fans? Like, yeah, I am now. Because those are the bad boys, and I like those guys. Because they were on CBS every weekend.
Every weekend.
You watch them, right? And just like, so that was just great. And then be able to meet him at the Final Four. It's one of my favorite things to do in this job, is to be able to go to the Final Four. JD and I broadcasting from a place, and saw him about 5 or 6 years ago. He was doing regular talk like you and I on the stations in D.C., a couple of stations in D.C., and they would bring in like a special chair for him, big guy. So he's got a special chair, and he's just doing the broadcast. And he's just laying. He's got the mic on his chest, and he's just talking about the Washington Nationals and talking about, you know, DC sports, Baltimore Orioles baseball. I'm like, look at Big John break down the Orioles bullpen.
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah. And then to meet him, right? And he I said, you know, come on over to the table. Come to Chicago, because at Radio Row, it's, you know, here's Tacoma, you know, here's Sacramento, Chicago, New York. You've been there. The Radio Row. Come over to Chicago. He comes over, they slide his big chair over, and he just looks at me. He goes, you know, I did some recruiting in Chicago. You sure? I think I might be your dad. You're a big guy. I think you're my son.
Pretty funny.
So, you know, so that made me feel good and make me relaxed, because John was so gracious with his time.
He was intimidating.
He was.
6'10".
Oh, my gosh.
I believe, Danny, if you could check this, I believe he was drafted by the Bulls.
I think that might be correct.
I think the Bulls drafted Big John Thompson.
What do you remember in coaching circles about John Thompson? What do you remember about what they would say about him?
So I got to know one of the assistants there, Craig Escherich, who was a Chicago guy.
Mm-hmm.
He became the head coach when John left. And I remember asking, you know, access to the team, can we go to practice? And he looked at me like, no.
Yeah.
That's never going to happen. And when they went to the Final Four, they would stay 90 miles away where nobody had access to that hotel. Nobody. They were under lock and key. He said, we're here to do a job. We're not here to celebrate at the Final Four. You can do that when you're done playing or coaching. Yeah. And I always respected, like, he took a guy like Allen Iverson, who had a lot of troubles coming out of Hampton, Virginia. And Allen Iverson, at his Hall of Fame, said, that guy saved my life. The only guy that would take a chance on me, because he had a lot of issues. And got him to the NBA.
Father figure and great coach. Because the Iverson thing, it's well documented. The videos and the story about Iverson is well documented. And Thompson brought him in, you know? Because he wanted to have four-year guys in there.
He did.
But he saw Iverson as a talent and said, you know what? Not only will I be a coach, I'll be a father figure for you.
All right. You guys are both correct. So initially he was drafted by the Celtics out of school.
Uh-huh.
But then in the expansion draft in 1966, he was selected by your Chicago Bulls.
How about that?
And became a terrific broadcaster, color analyst for Westwood One for a long time, doing college games, especially
he was awesome.
The Final Four.
He was awesome. All right. When we come back, Chadwick Boseman died over the weekend at the age of just 43 of colon cancer. Horrible loss. He was an amazing actor. We remember him next. So, I always get a hard time from Danny and whoever that I like the movie Draft Day. I watched it on Saturday night when I heard of the passing of Chadwick Boseman at just 43 years of age, and then to find out that he's been dealing with this while he was filming movies, having surgery and undergoing chemo, and he would keep filming movies and nobody knew until somebody saw him recently. His last public appearance was at the NBA All-Star Game in Chicago in February. And then someone saw him recently and they said, he does not look good. He's lost a ton of weight. And then we find out he was terminal and passes away over the weekend. It absolutely sad, horrible news. That guy was amazing.
I mean, you do it all. I just want to put it in perspective. Chadwick was diagnosed with colon cancer 4 years ago. And during that time, He gave us Civil War, Marshall, Black Panther, which was on ABC last night, Infinity War, Endgame, 21 Bridges, and The Five Bloods. The majority of those I've seen, the last thing I saw from him was The Five Bloods, which was a terrific movie. Who knows what he was going through on a daily basis, that he was filming, losing weight, dealing with colon cancer, but still giving us entertainment.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable, man.
Unbelievable.
Wakanda forever!
He leaves.
Mzitoko!
What's up?
I never yielded! And as you can see, I am not dead!
Thank you, Jake.
What are you thanking me for?
I got family up there from Louisville. I need them to know. I need them to know who I am. Maybe tomorrow we'll all wear 42. That way they won't tell us apart.
That ball you want to take? That there's a mistake. Callahan. Callahan's a poser.
Yeah. And what do you know that every scout and coach on earth does not?
I know we got sacked 12 times last year.
No, it was 11. It was 11 times.
Yeah, well, four were mine. In one game.
Yeah, I remember. I saw your highlight reel. I also remember that he beat you.
Watch it again. Don't watch me. Watch him. Watch me sack him four times in one game. Then watch what happens after.
With the first pick of the 2014 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select Vontae Mack, linebacker, Ohio State.
Oh, and Black Panther. Black Panther.
Oh,
you going with the Black Panther? That's right. You take the time to the Black Panther.
Okay. And that's Chadwick Boseman, the star of Black Panther. That's authentic.
Yeah. Go with that. I love that. I love the entry.
Chadwick Boseman comes with the product.
In my culture, dead. It's not the end. It's more of a stepping off point. You reach out with both hands and bust and segment. They lead you into the green veld where you can run forever.
That sounds very peaceful.
My father thought so.
Very sad. Some amazing, amazing work by the late Chadwick Boseman, who died over the weekend at the age of just 43. He just got married recently to his longtime girlfriend, knowing what the future was, and they wanted to be husband and wife, and his family was all around him when he died. Just awful.
It really is. You don't get a chance to know these actors. You just know that when you see them on the big screen, when you see them even on Saturday Night Live, because he was hilarious there as well, is that you just start having a kinship, a relationship just through the screen. Like, when I see that guy, he's going to give me quality. You know it's going to be great. He's not one of these guys just going to take anything. He took big roles. I'm very proud of ABC being able to roll Black Panther commercial-free yesterday, and then having a special afterwards. It just shows you the shadow that he cast in Hollywood as just an actor, again, in his early 40s being cut down like that and still working through it, Cap. That's just amazing.
It's amazing.
So, yes.
And someone sent me the link that I should watch of his commencement address at his alma mater. I believe it was Howard University.
Saw some of that, yeah.
And I want to watch that. I haven't seen it yet. I want to watch it. I heard it was amazing.
So this is, I mean, you talk about 2020 and some of the negative things that we have seen in 2020 and stories that we've seen. That's one. And by the way, we talk about, basketball icons. So we were going through the list earlier, right? Lute Olson is also on that list from last week, right?
Lute. Lou Henson, Eddie Sutton, John Thompson, all gone.
It's just amazing.
Brutal.
I mean, these are those that were great coaches that meant a lot to the sport, that it really helped the sport in a big way.
They did.
And now they're no longer with us.
By the way, back to Chadwick Boseman for a second. Did you watch the Black Jeopardy from SNL?
Yes.
That was hilarious.
Yes. Yes.
That was hilarious.
I think there's some people after watching that was trying to maybe second guess how they have their potato salad. I think you need a little flavor in your spoon. I mean, raisins won't get it done in your potato salad.
No, apparently. That was so great.
Got it? Hello, got it. I mean, it's just
so
great.
Great.
T'Challa was getting it done, man. That was a funny scene.
It was tremendous. And then we also sadly lost Cliff Robinson over the weekend.
Yes.
Uncle Cliffy, 53, played almost 19 years in the NBA,
yes.
18 and change. He was a hell of a player.
Mm-hmm. Portland Trail Blazer.
From UConn.
A solid player for sure. That was a surprise. So just think about before some of these NBA games came on, they had three screens filled with sadness of Bozeman, of what we saw from Uncle Cliffy. Those two in particular.
Brutal.
Yeah, so the NBA were honoring those guys before the games as well.
And then there were people that were not happy with the VMAs last night because when they did their in memoriam, they didn't have Kobe included.
Did you watch that, Tyler? Did you watch it? Did you turn
no,
it on?
No, I did not. I was I watched the Black Panther for the first time last night.
What'd you think?
I liked it. And it was I'm not a big superhero movie guy, but I thought that was a good one. And I don't watch a lot of superhero movies. But I felt like I had to watch it last night when they were airing it, and I liked it. I didn't love it like everyone else did, but I did think it was a good movie.
Yeah, we saw it at the theater, and I just thought it was great. And as far as the VMAs are concerned, that was on one of the monitors. I just didn't have the volume up. And so if you're going to do in memoriam, add the iconic figures that passed away in 2020. How Kobe is not on that list is incredible.
Yeah, that's a major oversight.
How do you not have Kobe Bryant on the list? They made time for Chadwick Boseman. I'm sure they had to re-edit that stuff.
For my generation, Kobe Bryant is the most iconic death that we've gone through. Most iconic. Doesn't matter who you are, whether you like sports or not.
And so, for him not to be in memoriam was a huge mistake. I know that they had to do a lot of editing by not having Chad. You know, they had to add Chadwick to what they already put together. But you got to put Kobe Bryant in there. I mean,
it's
come on.
Got to be. All right. We will crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko show with Jeff Miller in for Carm in 2 minutes.